chapter 11. Very familiar words to most of us, I'm sure. Just a few verses from verses 23 through 26, verses that we tend to read at the communion table and then swiftly move on to break bread and share the cup together. But tonight, I just want to spend a little bit of time in these verses, just to think about them. I say not too long, but you know me by now, you can never tell how long it'll be. But 1 Corinthians 11 and 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Amen. I read this amazing story of a man called Roger Zerba, who suffered from early onset Alzheimer's disease. His wife, Becky, remembers a journal entry that he left for her after a particularly troubling bout of forgetfulness. And this is what he had written in his journal. This is what she read. She said, "I picked up the journal on my pillow and I read, 'Honey, today fear is taking over. The day is coming when all my memories of this life that we share will be gone. In fact, you and the boys will be gone from me. I will lose you even as I am surrounded by you and your love. I don't want to leave you. I want to grow old in the warmth of memories. Forgive me for leaving so slowly and painfully.' Blinking back tears," records Becky, "I picked up my pen and I wrote these words, 'My sweet husband, what will happen when we get to the point when you no longer know me? I will continue to go on loving you and caring for you, not because you know me or remember our life, but because I remember you. I will remember the man who proposed to me and told me he loved me. The look on his face when his children were born, the father he was, the way he loved our extended family. I'll recall his love for riding and hiking and reading, his tears at sentimental movies, the unexpected witty remarks, and how he held my hand while we prayed. I cherish the pleasure, the obligation, the commitment, and the opportunity to care for you because I remember you. I remember you." What a love and devotion to a man that she knew and loved for so many years. She remembered his life and love and legacy, even though he was slowly disappearing before her very eyes. She loved him. I guess the question for you and for me is, how is our love and devotion for those that we love? Whether that be our wives, our husbands, our parents, our children, other family members. How is our love and devotion? And then importantly, how is our love and devotion for Jesus? Tonight we come to gather around the Lord's table in a bit. We come to remember Jesus, to remember his death on the cross for us and his resurrection into glory. And I just wanted us to linger for a few moments on these words and the thought that they convey tonight. I remember you, Jesus. Tonight, take time to focus on what this is all about. Don't rush in and rush out like we often do as we tag communion, I suppose, in a way to the end of our service. Let's take time to focus on what this is all about. Paul begins in verses 23 and 24 by saying, "Remember the pain. Remember the pain. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, he says. The Lord Jesus, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This meal we're partaking of this evening is a remembrance meal. We're to remember Jesus, who he was, what he did, what he achieved on our behalf. And the first thing that we do is we take the bread and we remember Jesus. Jesus speaks of the bread representing his body, which was given for each one of us. We read there that on the night he was betrayed, that's what it says there. On the night he was betrayed, and we think back to those wonderful encounters in the gospel and that first meal when Jesus shared it. But on the night he was betrayed, he shared supper with his disciples. And he shared that supper knowing that one of them, Judas, was going to betray him. He knew that others would scatter as well in fear. And we know that Judas sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. He turned his back on Jesus. Everything he had been taught, every miracle he had witnessed, every experience he had shared with Jesus was worth nothing in that moment. In a split second, he gave in to greed and possibly fear and a whole variety of other emotions. And he sold Jesus out for some silver. And I guess a question that we need to ask ourselves often as well is, do we betray Jesus? Do we cause him hurt and pain by turning our backs on him? We might not do that. We might do that, I suppose, by ignoring his teaching at times, by living as we want to live. We might do that by not following his command to love one another. We might do that by seeking some personal pleasure in some sin rather than in Jesus. Yet we all, I guess, intentionally or unintentionally, we all at times are prone to hurt Jesus, to betray him, to wander away. And the call here as we come to the table is to remember Jesus, to remember the pain. And we remember the pain, not just of betrayal, but we remember the pain as we take the bread. It says that that represents Jesus' body given for us. Consider that whole episode, if you will. Just picture it in your mind, the trial, the rejection of the crowd, the beating, the mocking, the journey to the hill of Calvary, as we've just been singing about, the crucifixion. Think for a moment on the death that Jesus suffered for us. Luke tells us in his gospel that Jesus was beaten. Matthew tells us that he was flogged, that he was struck on the head again and again. He was spit upon. He was mocked. Matthew tells us in those verses, when he talks about Jesus being mocked, he talks about him being delivered over to a company of soldiers. This isn't just 28 people, 30 people in a room. A company of soldiers would be between 400 and 600, and they mocked him. Can you imagine 400 people against one, mocking him, making fun of him? And then he was stripped naked, at least down to his undergarments, which for a man in that day, in that culture, was as well as being naked. Matthew goes on to tell us that a crown of thorns was forced on his head. And then he was taken and nailed and crucified. And I don't know about you, but I don't think we can even begin to imagine the horror of this kind of death. His body given for you and for me. Jesus' body was beaten, it was tortured before being led out and nailed to that cruel cross, and all because he loves you, because he loves me, because he loves us. Romans 5 and verse 6 tells us that you see at just the right time, when we were still powerless, when we were unable to do anything, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. No, for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus took on frail human flesh in order to endure the pain and the suffering on the cross in order to save us. Remember the pain. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Paul then challenges us to remember the payment. Not just the pain, but the payment. Verse 25, in the same way after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And you'll remember John the Baptist pointing to Jesus at the beginning of his ministry and saying in John 1:29, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus came to deal with our sin problem. There was a payment to be met, to be paid in full. Jesus paid it in full. We are all sinners. We have sinned against God in our thoughts and our words and in our deeds. We've sinned repeatedly again and again. We've rebelled against him and we've ignored him. We've rejected his ways and sought to go after our own. We were the prodigals, turning from the Father and doing our own thing. And it all ended in pain. It ended in pain for us and the loneliness and the brokenness and a recognition that we had sinned against God. And listen, sin carries a penalty. That's what the Bible teaches us. We know all of this, don't we? That separation from God forever. And there is nothing we can do about that. No amount of good deeds on our part can make that payment. We are not even, if I can use some banking terminology from my banking days, we can't even meet the interest payments, by the way. We're getting nowhere near it. In the Old Testament, the only way to make atonement for sin, payment for sin, was by the blood sacrifice of an animal on the altar. And we read that in Leviticus. This was only ever a temporary payment for the people kept on sinning. And God knew that something radical needed to be done. He had to punish sin because of its ugliness and rejection of his ways. Yet he loved his creation. He loved you and he loved me, so he arranged to pay the price for us. He agreed to meet the ransom. Jesus came, we read in John 1:29, to take away the sin of the world. In order to do that, his blood required to be shed on the altar. For it's only through the shedding of blood, the scriptures tell us, that we can have that forgiveness, and only through the shedding of Jesus' blood, the perfect Lamb of God. Jesus' blood was poured out. It was poured out to make that new covenant with God. That through Jesus' shed blood, our sins could be forgiven. Jesus paid the price on that cruel cross as the nails went through his hands and his feet. His blood dripped out. Jesus' blood has paid the price. Remember the payment. Remember the pain. Remember the payment. Right for us to do that as we gather around this table, because it cost Jesus his earthly life to save us. It cost God the Father the pain of sending his Son to earth to pay the ransom for our sin. And so we remember the great cost of our salvation. We give thanks for God's love and for God's faithfulness, for his grace and for his mercy towards us. And as we remember all of that, listen, there's two more things to remember at the table. Remember the promise. Remember the promise. First and foremost, listen, our sins are forgiven. He's removed them from us as far as the east is from the west. He remembers them no more. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The promise of this table, the promise of the Lord's table, is that Jesus' blood was enough. There was nothing we can do. There's nothing more we can add to the cross. So stop trying. Jesus died so that our sins could be forgiven. He died so that the price could be paid once and for all. And there's a promise of eternal life here. With sins forgiven, our relationship with God is restored. With sins forgiven, we are clean and righteous in God's eyes once more. With that righteousness comes entrance into heaven one day. And the promise there, of course, is also of Jesus returning for us. He's coming back for us one day, and on that day we will go to be with him forever and forever. Verse 26 says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Until he comes. There's the promise. He's coming back for you and for me. Jesus promised his disciples in John 14, didn't he? That he was going to go prepare a place for them and then come back for them. At his ascension in Acts chapter 1, the angel said, "This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven." One day he is coming to take us to be with him forever, and we will see him and we will be like him. And in that place, there's going to be no more pain and no more sadness and no more death and no more tears. Hey, listen, I guess there might even be a party that we might enjoy forever and forever. We're accepted. We're forgiven. And Jesus waits to hold our hand and to walk us through the gates of glory into our Father's house, where we will spend eternity with him. Remember the promise and take hope today. Why? Because God keeps all of his promises. Every one of them is yes in Christ Jesus. That's what the scriptures tell us again and again and again. And one last thought before we share this meal together. There's a responsibility on us as we gather to remember Jesus. We are to remember to proclaim. The first three have all been about God. The first two in particular, the pain of Jesus, the payment that he made, the promise that's come from him. This one's for us. We are to remember to proclaim. Verse 26, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, what do? You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. In this simple act, we not only take time to remember Jesus and all that he's done for us, but we proclaim his death to others. There will be times when we're around this table and there'll be those sitting here who do not know Jesus Christ as our Lord and as their Savior. And as they see us proclaiming Christ's death in this way, they will see the gospel. They will see it enacted before their very eyes. We proclaim the good news that Jesus died to save sinners. And is that not the call in all of our lives? The call to go and make disciples. The call to go and be his witnesses. The call to go into all the world and preach the good news. The call simply to remember Jesus and to share him with a dying world. There's so much to think on whenever we gather around this table to remember Jesus. Tonight, as we pause for a moment's quiet, would you remember the pain? Would you remember the payment? Would you remember the promise here at the table? And would you remember to proclaim? Quite simply, we are to remember our Lord and Savior. As we gather around the table this evening, may we simply be able to say, "I remember you, Jesus." Let's just pause for a moment.